We're going to start the program with a story that is not in the news every day, but could be. That's the migrant crisis in Europe. The leaders of five Nordic nations met with President Obama yesterday to talk about this and other issues. In a few minutes, we'll hear from the foreign minister of Sweden, who was in those talks. But first, we want to remember that when we talk about the crisis, we're talking about people, often families trying to stay together under the most difficult conditions. Like the Rabbani family of Kabul, one of their children disappeared one night in 2015 as they crossed the Mediterranean. But as NPR's Soraya Sarhadi-Nelson reports from Lower Saxony, a German Red Cross worker refused to give up the search.
Even now, it's hard for the mother, Shukriya Ismaili, to describe what happened on that chilly night last year when she, her husband, and their five children huddled with other migrants near the Turkish shore. She says they ran to the rickety boats waiting to take them to Greece. In the scrum, she says she lost track of her children, save for the youngest, whose hand was pressed tightly in hers. By the time they reunited in Lesbos, one family member was missing. Her second youngest boy, Mahdi. Ismaili says they thought the 10-year-old had drowned. She sunk into a depression, as did her eldest daughter, Hatere. The 16-year-old listens nearby, with tears streaming down her face. She whispers it was her fault that Mahdi went missing, and I try to comfort her. Her mother asked me to turn the recorder off, then tells me Hatere is the reason the family fled Afghanistan. A strongman decided he wanted to marry the teen, and he beat up her father and threatened to kidnap her sister if the family didn't consent to the match. So the Rabbanis ran, but the quest to save one child appeared to have cost them another. Red Cross worker Maike Karolat says when she and her colleague Rani Hijazi heard about Mahdi, they wanted to help the family find out what had happened to him. With thousands of migrant children reported missing in Europe, it was like looking for a needle in a haystack. Week after week, Hijazi checked the computerized registries of new asylum seekers. He started in Germany and then broadened the search to Switzerland, which is also favored by fleeing Afghans. Karolat says last December, her colleague made a shocking discovery. Mahdi was alive in the Swiss canton of Bern. The boy was reunited with his family here in Lower Saxony in March. Mahdi says the night he went missing, he had boarded one of the boats with a friend. He thought his parents were not far behind. When he got to Greece, there was no trace of his family. He says he cried as he waited on shore for a full day. Another Afghan migrant, Mahdi says he called uncle, took the boy to Switzerland, where police sent him to live with a distant relative they found at a refugee camp. Mahdi now lives in a modest apartment with his parents and siblings. He dreams of playing professional soccer for a German team someday. His mother says she can't describe the happiness she feels about having him back. But her joy is tempered by fear that they won't be allowed to stay in Germany. German officials say that after investing billions of dollars in civil and military aid to stabilize Afghanistan, they don't see a need to grant asylum to most Afghans now. Khatida, too, is worried. She says for the first time she feels she has a future. She wants to become a doctor.
In Afghanistan, girls aren't worth anything. On top of that, you go to school, and there are 1,000 suicide bombings and other violence.
Khatira says that if Germany rejects her family's asylum request, she'll run away. Soraya Sarhadi-Nelson, NPR News in Oelsen, Lower Saxony.